All right, we're live. We're working. All right. Hey, everybody. This is Pete Cooper.
And this is Dr. David Nichols.
And we're with Heart of the Father. I'm actually with the guy that founded Heart of the Father.
That's me.
That's Dr. David Nichols. Hey, so don't think that we're just a couple of guys that are like jumping on the airwaves here, jumping into the downstream of things to get into your ears. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's true.
The idea that, look, that we know that Christians are asking questions. What right. We can know, what we can't know. We see headlines, YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, and everybody's talking about, the super boogeyman, Antichrist, who's the dragon, who's the false prophet, right. Who's all this,
should and it's be just afraid, should be yeah. running into the caves and
yeah.
fear.
And so like some of your non-Christian friends are saying to you like, hey, what's this all about? And you're going, well, I don't know, right? You get into the place. So we're just saying that, look, we're in our third season right now. We're not rookies. We've got like almost 6,000 downloads. This is episode 135, Doc. We're out there. People are listening. And we're just saying, if you share this broadcast with like people, because I don't think we're not weird. I mean, we love Jesus.
We're out of our minds.
We're out of our minds.
But we're not weird.
But we're not weird. And yeah. So when you have a friend that's trying to understand, like, what's all coming? What is this Antichrist thing? Look, you can share this with them, and we won't be offensive.
Right.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose in learning about Antichrist is to know more about Christ.
Amen. Right?
This isn't an end. The end game isn't Antichrist and knowledge of him, although you need some of that to get along the way, but it's to get to Jesus.
Right. And I was telling you, Doc, that, yesterday I wanted to go off to the races, and you were like, you got to take the saddle off that horse right now kind of thing, right? But I was... When I listened to yesterday, it was really feeling like I was feeling like I was trying to pull Doc in another direction that I wanted to go in. And Doc said this, look, the importance of foundation is this. You said that if we base our foundation on current events, our foundation becomes
shaky,
slippery.
What happens when the current events change? And they will change. They'll change this week. They'll change next week. They'll change tomorrow. What right? doesn't change is the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So
that's where we have to place our foundation.
So I'm back in the stable. Doc and I are in here. The horses are put up. And we're just cleaning up right now.
Yeah.
So
we want to lay a foundation with you here today that will serve you for this whole study. If you'll learn it, not that you have to memorize all whole bunches of stuff, but you can listen to this over and over several times if you don't get it all the first time.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's jump in here and ask a question, Pete.
Yeah.
So here's our question. There are two books in the Bible that use the term Antichrist. What are they?
Revelation. And Revelation.
That's only one.
Oh. I would say in the book of Revelation and maybe Thessalonians.
Wrong. Yeah. There are two books in the Bible that use the term Antichrist.
Come on.
And they are not Revelation, they are not Second Thessalonians, nor the
it's
book
gotta
of
be
Daniel.
The prophets then.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, it's First and Second John. It's kind of a sleeper actually in the books of the Bible, because people go, Bible prophecy in First and Second John, really?
Yeah.
I mean, those books are all about love and right. And
yeah,
how much the Father loves us and we're his children and all those wonderful things. But those are the only books that use the term. So
yeah.
Let's jump in there. So in other words, then, before we jump in, let's just say this. If that's true, and it is, then we're not going to start with the book of Revelation for defining Antichrist. And we're not going to start with the book of Daniel. And we're not going to start with the book of 2 Thessalonians. We're going to start with the two books that use the term. And we'll get to these other books. They're important, and they have something to contribute. But
right.
So here we go in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour.
Oh, my word.
Not the last days.
Uh-oh.
The last hour.
So something did transpond with Jesus and the boys.
Okay, now here's a little thing I'll throw in here, too. Now, this is my personal belief, okay? You don't have to believe this, but this is what this is what I believe.
Okay.
I believe all the books of the New Testament were written before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, except these, the Gospel of John, the three epistles. That's what I believe.
Oh, so you put, you're an early writing of Revelation.
I am. And some people are late. Some people have it in the 90s. I believe it was in the late 60s, right before the fall of Jerusalem.
So what, if we just took 2 minutes, because something triggered for you to come off of what most thought.
Right.
I mean, you have your doctorate in New Testament theology.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, several things. And it's...
Is it too big?
It's too big. Really,
we'll open it later.
Right. We can. We can.
Right.
But if you believe that Revelation was written in the 90s, we still love you, and you can still get benefit from this teaching.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't blow it out of the water.
Right.
It's just that my point will be stronger here with this view.
Okay.
Because then John is the only guy writing after the fall of Jerusalem, Gospel and three epistles. Okay?
Yeah.
Little children, it is the last hour. That's important because it means for the remember yesterday, the preterists? Because they say, well, this all got fulfilled in the to the first hearers and readers, and usually with Bible prophecy for them, that means in the events of the fall of Jerusalem. And this means here we have a writer, a biblical writer, that says, no, we're here after the fall of Jerusalem. And we not only believe it is the last days, it's the last hour in the 80s AD.
Well,
so I would say from that, you need to keep your expectancy of the coming of the Lord hot.
Yeah.
He's coming.
Yeah.
And you need to be prepared, and your family needs to be prepared.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to be, because Jesus is coming.
I'm going to get my horse now.
No.
I'm kidding. No, but that explains what you were saying about having, that you think that the book Revelation was written before 90, so that you can put these things into perspective about, hey, look, we're seeing something. John sees something. He's not in the, remember, Jesus told us we were in the last. He's saying, no, we're in the last hour now.
The last hour.
And 2,000 years later?
We're still in the last hour.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a long hour.
It's a long hour. Hey, it's a long hour.
Well, for this one simple reason.
Yeah,
come on. That only the Father knows the day and hour of the second coming, and he has not said go.
Right.
And I'll give you my interpretation of that. The reason for that is his great love.
Hallelujah.
He wants more children to be included in the final ingathering and be with him forever in eternity.
Hallelujah. And we play a role in that.
We play a big role, absolutely.
So love should be playing a role in our own lives.
It should
lives.
Be huge.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the singular Antichrist is coming. Singular word in Greek and English.
Yeah.
Okay. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. John says, he's already here. And I'm going to name him to you. No, he doesn't say that. What does he say? That the singular Antichrist is coming. Even now, many antichrists have already come.
Oh, my word.
By which we know
Uh-oh.
That it can't be for a long, long time yet. No. By which we know that it is the last hour. Not by the arrival of the singular antichrist do we know that. We know that by the appearance of the many antichrists.
Ooh.
I'm just handling the language carefully for you here because you need to do that. You
right.
can't, because people say a lot of things with what what Bible prophecy means. Okay? This is what John is saying. Many antichrists have come, and because they've come, we know it's the last hour.
Yeah.
In other words, he's taken the attention, right out the gate here, he's taken the attention away from the singular, the big guy, the whatever you want to call him, and putting the attention on the plurality of many. And he's doing that after the fall of Jerusalem. He's doing it likely in the 80s AD, after that whole thing has already transpired. That's like 15 years in the rearview mirror. When you got to grasp what a cataclysmic event that was for anybody that has a Jewish worldview.
Right.
The temple got destroyed. The
yeah.
city got leveled to the ground. The people got hauled off, killed and hauled off captive. I mean, it was terrible.
And Christians
catastrophic.
Were being, and they were being blamed? Or not?
Christians, isn't this interesting? The Christians who knew about the Mount Olivet Discourse,
yeah.
when they saw the Roman armies approaching, gathered themselves together and boogied off to a place called Pella. And so, there were thousands of them. And they survived because they did not
engage.
They heard the words of Jesus and believed them.
Wow.
But that's back to Matthew 24 now. That's not our subject today. We got to stay focused
okay.
here. Right.
Well, I like what you're unpacking right here, Doc.
Okay.
Because this is like in one verse.
It is.
We've got.
Okay, now what about these many antichrists right. now that John is throwing up
yep.
to us here? Hey, he's like, de-emphasize the singular, emphasize the plural, and that's how we know it is the last
right.
hour. All right, verse 19. Who? They. The plural antichrists, they
mm-hmm.
went out from us, but they were not of us.
Wait a minute. They went out from who?
From us.
From the Christians.
From the Christian
From
church.
The guys that John was hanging with.
Yeah.
And Peter and all the boys.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
These are the antichrists.
Oh, my word, Doc. This is not, this doesn't look it's like good not, news to me.
It's not going where we wanted it to go.
It's not.
Okay. For if they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things.
Whoa.
Or it could be translated, you all know, which is probably a better translation. You know certain things. Okay. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is, here you have it, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. There's the biblical definition of the word.
Man.
Before you start talking about beast and little horn and man of lawlessness, we'll get there. We'll talk about those. But before you talk about
yeah.
those, you have to talk about this definition.
Oh, my word.
All right.
Okay.
So who is Antichrist? He who denies the Father and the Son.
Right.
Oh, boy.
That's big.
That's huge.
That puts us into social media, that puts us into mass media, that puts us into governments, that puts us into household stock.
That puts us into globalist organizations that we'll mention by name in later podcasts.
Yes, we
Stay
will.
Stay tuned.
Please.
No, really.
No, I know.
Right.
This is like, I just want to jump right on it. But we're laying down
the foundation. Whoever denies the Son
Ooh.
Does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So this is Antichrist against Christ. That's the basic meaning of the term. And it seems what John is saying here is the singular future super duper guy. We should just kind of leave that discussion aside for a moment and focus on the people that are actually in front of us.
Okay.
That are denying the Father and the Son by their words and their actions.
Man, that's big though.
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump because we live and work with these people, Doc.
Right.
No, but
that deny the Father and the Son.
We do. And you know what? We even joke around with them.
Well,
we do.
Sometimes.
Yeah. We're like, hey, you know, we have lunch meetings with them. Like, you know, you and I, we come in here and like we're a united front.
But
to the guy that's working the 9 to 5 and the guys that are working at banks and mortgage companies and.
Right.
Okay. We're going to help you.
Okay. Now let's jump over to 1 John chapter 4 with that part in place.
That is just huge to me.
All right.
So where are we going? 1 John?
1 John chapter 4.
Four.
We're just using the places where the term is used,
right.
Antichrist.
Okay, all right.
Verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God.
Okay.
Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Listener, please heed that. There are all kinds of voices speaking on YouTube.
Man.
And Twitter and Parler and Rumble and 100 other places.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Many false prophets have gone out. They're not all false. Some of them are good. Some of them are doing a work of the kingdom of God.
Right.
But how do you know? By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, singular, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. For those of you that are waiting for Antichrist to be manifested in some accord with Israel or some European Union thing that's going to happen, please read this verse and understand it.
Okay, so this is capital A, Antichrist.
Singular.
Singular.
Right.
We heard that he was coming because, listener, me too. We heard that Antichrist, capital A, was coming.
We all heard it.
And now the Bible's telling us he's already in the world, which means that he's been here for how many thousands of years?
The 80s AD when this was written.
Ay.
And we're going to find out as we, in later podcasts, he was here a long time before that.
Right.
But let's just start for here for
okay,
now.
Okay, foundations.
Already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them.
Ooh.
You have overcome the Antichrists, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God.
Yeah.
He who knows God hears us, but he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Ooh, there's two more spirits.
Oh, my. And then we get on to the subject of love, which the epistles of John are so famous for. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I would just say to you, listener, that false compassion and false love are a real big deal right now for discerning what is Antichrist and what is Christ in this world that we live in.
Okay,
in
so
2023.
All right, hold the gate, because I can just hear people say right now, what is false compassion, doctor? What is a false love?
Well, I mean, I saw it on display on a YouTube I watched the other night.
Okay.
Where a state passed a restrictive bill that made it so children in school, their parents have to be told if the teachers are going to change their gender. and there were restrictions on what you could do and couldn't do. These teachers and others with them crying on the screen.
Whoa.
Because these children's rights are being taken away to change from a boy to a girl or a girl to a boy.
Wow.
That's false compassion.
That's false love.
That's false
and love. False compassion.
Yeah.
So
there you got it.
That's
the horse is out of the gate.
Yeah, it is. But if you now you roll back from there, because that false love and false compassion has to be on the planet now for how many thousand years? I really love you guys. You're my best friend. Guys that are,
it's been around a long time, but the whole American liberal progressive philosophy of the last, let's say, 40 years has really majored on it.
Holy cow.
We really care for the people in the inner city.
Oh.
Oh, you really do.
Oh.
So you're taking away their police protection. Oh. You're taking.
Yeah.
I mean.
We
right?
really care about the Christians, and we should have your vote.
Right.
We really care, right? That whole. We really care about the planet. Yeah. Do you really love the planet? I mean, seriously. Like, you're separating your paper, your cardboard, your tin cans, your glass.
And on balance, this is the best planet I have. Right?
Well, it is.
But I don't love it in the way I love my wife and my kids and my grandkids and you the way I love you, Pete. I love you much more than I love the planet.
Hallelujah.
And I mean, the planet is cool, but...
It is.
Yeah.
But it's starting to grab attention and has been over the last how many decades.
You're supposed to love it more than your family, according to some people.
Whoa. Okay.
And we'll get there.
I know.
Okay. So, this love thing is important.
Wow.
He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Oh boy, and this gets him cranking. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, propitiation, isn't it? What does that mean, Pete?
The propitiation is a payment for something.
Yes, it is.
But it contains more things than just a payment.
The appeasement of the wrath.
Ooh, appeasement of the wrath.
And it does pay the price, that's right. And that's what the Antichrists don't want to hear about. That's why they deny Christ has come in the flesh. That's why they have their false compassion and so forth. So there you have that whole set of verses that talk about Antichrist. Now let's go over to 2 John,
all right,
which also uses the term.
Okay.
The only other book in the Bible that uses the term.
They're right next door to each other.
They are.
All right.
2 John, verse 4. It only has one chapter. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we have received commandment from the Father. Now think about that statement. This is being written to a church.
Yeah.
By one of the greatest leaders of the first century world, one of the apostles of Christ himself, John, the apostle.
Yep.
Some of your children are walking in truth.
It doesn't say all, does it?
I know. You got to take that seriously.
I am.
As we have received commandment from the Father, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. All right, as believers.
And this is being written to who? The elect lady?
The elect lady, which is a metaphor for a church body in a certain city. And it's amazing.
All right.
And people say, and it's probably true in another sense, it applies to the whole church because it's scripture now. It's inspired word of God.
Hallelujah.
Elect lady is the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Okay. All right.
Verse 6.
So, verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is really something you have to pay attention to with Antichrist.
Okay.
Who is telling you to not walk according to the commandments of Jesus and of the Father and of the Word of God? And who is telling you to walk according to them? That's a fundamental question.
One that you should be answering, I should be answering.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah. According to his commandments, and this is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Oh, my word.
Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide by the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? Very simply stated, that he was born of the Virgin,
right,
came into this world,
right,
rose into his ministry, in the power of the Holy Spirit, taught, did miracles, signs, wonders, forgave sins, yeah, died on the cross,
yeah,
rose the third day, and ascended back into heaven, and commissioned us to go into all the world. There you have, in a nutshell, the doctrine of Christ. Can all Christians agree on that?
I think they can.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds.
So when you... Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you.
So the Antichrist is involved in an Antichrist. Now, in this case, is involved in deception.
Right. And what if you don't know your doctrine well?
That's a problem.
Right? Because now you're entertaining and you're receiving people that you shouldn't. But because he just gets done telling us to walk in love. So love can become tough. Love is sometimes people are like, you know, you just have to love these people. You know, you still like, but at what point do you, what point? Do you say no, Jim? No.
Right. That's part of love. Love is not the same thing as universal approval.
Right.
Unconditional love is not universal approval. We just read the things that you have to disapprove.
Love protects and provides. That's the way I taught my kids.
That's good. That's true.
It's not hugging and kissing, and it's not like you say.
It can be hugging and kissing, well, but it's not just that.
Right.
Right. I mean, I honestly, for over the last 23 years, I don't kiss them, but I've hugged thousands of people.
Yeah.
With the Father's love, and many of them have been mightily ministered to. But it is an unconditional download of the Father helping them to see themselves the way he sees them.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of love. The love that turns the hearts of the fathers to the children, mm-hmm, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Yes.
So
back to Antichrist.
It is. But I was going to say, look, you know, we're about 30 minutes in.
We are. So let's set it up for next time.
Well, we can, but look, but like the doctrine of, well, how can I know more about the doctrine of Christ? Read the New Testament.
Ooh, yeah.
You don't have to. I'm not saying you don't have to. You should be reading through the Gospels, right? Because that'll give you the doctrine.
And then when you show who Jesus is.
Right. And then when you start reading through the book of Acts, then you can see how the doctrine of Christ played out into the lives of people that were practicing and doing what was called Christianity.
Right. First the Jews, then the Samaritans, then the whole world.
And what I think that we get, I slip off into the Deuteronomy stuff and the blessing and the curses. I slip off into the Daniel. Mm-hmm. I get up into the Joshuas and the Gideons and the mighty men of God. But that's
JL
not...
JL with the
JL and Jehaziel and Second Chronicles. Gideon. Those guys are like, but look, listener, the gospel and knowing the doctrine is going to protect you and your family from the deceiver that Second John's talking about. This is, we have to get into the place that we're believing as Christians, but we're in the last hour.
And who Jesus is.
Yeah. So that's, we're in foundation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, set it up.
So here it is.
I'm going to write it down.
So this is the term Antichrist according to 1 John and 2 John. We just gave it to you.
Yeah.
All right, now let's just say that you're a person that's been reading the Bible.
Okay.
And you know that you go a branch off into the book of Revelation, you run into this guy that's called the Beast.
Ooh, okay.
And I would challenge you to search your book of Revelation, the canonical book of Revelation, that is, and see if you can find the term Antichrist. It's not there.
Oh, you're setting this up. Look at you. I like it. I know where you're going. So that, I like
it. Try it in 2 Thessalonians, too. And try it in Daniel, too.
Yeah.
All right? So you got these terms, beast, little horn, man of lawlessness, all these different things that have attached themselves to Antichrist. At some point, because they're not identical in the books of the Bible themselves. They're just not. We just outlined that for you from 1 and 2 John. They are, now, could John, and what you have with Revelation, you got the advantage, it's the same guy that wrote the epistles, wrote the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Okay. If he's the same guy
that wrote
the book of Revelation and Antichrist and Beast are identical, then why doesn't he
use
Antichrist in chapter 13?
Or vice versa.
There's something else he's showing us there that and that's not saying it can't be Antichrist, but you got to dig into that.
Right.
So the question becomes,
right,
how do all these terms get mashed together? Antichrist, beast, man of lawlessness, little horn, all those are the big ones. Okay,
is how do they get all that?
Because
false prophet, is that part of it? Or no?
Because
the false prophet is...
Yeah, in a bigger sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but in Revelation, he's a different guy. And the dragon is a different guy. We're focusing on Antichrist.
Right.
Okay, so how do those all get mashed together? There has to be a point in time where somebody says, well, the beast is the Antichrist, or the man of lawlessness is the little horn, and the little horn is the Antichrist. And, I mean, there has to be.
Okay.
Because the raw materials are there in the Bible. The Bible doesn't put them together itself. So if you have them all mashed together into one guy, it's no wonder he looks like a future super-duper, superhuman, whoa, this guy, I mean, he, Yeah, because you mash together a whole bunch of things that are,
Yeah, and that's a very relevant term.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people talk about music mashups. And,
Okay.
So this is a, where did
so
this mashup?
So next time, we're going to unveil how and where that happened.
Hallelujah. All right, I'm Pete Cooper.
I'm Dr. David Nichols.
And this is American Christian. We love you guys. Stay tuned. Hey, share. Share this to somebody.
People need to know.
Amen.